This podcast is powered by homeschoolbuyerscoop.org. The main question I've been getting recently with the COVID pandemic is, how can we start homeschooling? Some school districts aren't even opening up, and they don't want to be at the mercy of an iPad or computer to do their schoolwork every day. So people are looking into homeschool options. One of those options is joining homeschoolbuyerscoop.org. They do the work for you of searching through the tens of thousands of options of curriculum, and they dial it down to 3 to 5 options of proven, tested, high-quality curriculum. They have over 260,000 families, so they use this membership to go to curriculum companies and say, hey, we want to buy this much of your curriculum, what's your discount you can give us for that? It's just like a bulk discount. It's your Sam's or Costco, but for homeschoolers. If you enter the code Montessori, when you sign up for your free membership, you get the Montessori Mom podcast discount of $5 on your first order. They are family owned and operated. They're homeschoolers themselves that decided, hey, we want the discounts that big schools, public school systems are getting. So how can we join together as homeschoolers and get discounts on curriculum? So check out homeschoolbuyersco-op.org.
Hello there, and welcome to Montessori Mom. I am back at home podcasting, which audio probably isn't as great, but for me, super exciting because my husband has moved all of his recording stuff to a second location. So I finally got a setup back at home, and I'm super excited because to me, inspiration for this podcast comes from home, so it's a little odd to go somewhere else and do it, and I feel like I'm like in the game when I'm at home, in our home, in our space, in the place that we try to implement Montessori into our family and into our homeschool. So with that being said, we've been releasing a lot of podcasts lately, and that's been awesome. And I've been getting more questions. So if you don't know, I've recorded I've recorded many podcasts with video, and only one so far has been successful. And like the video actually gone through with the audio, and all this technical stuff is a nightmare for me, but we finally got that to work. And so our first video podcast is up on YouTube. My YouTube account is Montessori Mom. My YouTube channel. Maybe it's just Danielle Mitchell. It's not Montessori Mom. Pretty sure I changed that, but I have no idea, like I said, how to do all this tech stuff. Look up the channel. I have videos on there of our kids doing things, you know, works and activities at home that are all inspired by Montessori. And it's just kind of how we try to live our daily life. And the first video podcast is up. And on there, someone asked a question on the bottom of that video. So super cool. First comment on the first video. And this is Sarah. She says, hi from Florida. I love your podcast. I stumbled upon it about a year ago and since then kept checking in to see if you've posted a new one. So I've been pretty excited with all the new episodes lately, a coronavirus plus, I assume. Anyways, I accidentally got into Montessori when our home daycare we chose for my now 2.5-year-old son and 13-month-old daughter happened to be a Montessori daycare, and I fell in love with the way they managed the group of 12 kids, 4 and under. Both of my children started there when they were 4 months, and we just recently moved and had to switch to a closer one to home. Point of story, the new daycare is unfortunately not Montessori, but I was wondering if you have any recommendations for the most important aspects of Montessori that we can instill at home, since they may not be in a super Montessori atmosphere now at daycare. Would love to hear your thoughts. First of all, thank you so much, Sarah, for your question. I love getting questions. I love getting emails from people. It makes me so much more excited about Montessori. I was already excited about Montessori, and it just makes the work more complete, and to be able to share that is just such a joy and fulfillment, really, because I do believe in Montessori and how beautiful it is and how holistic it is for the human being. The most important aspects of Montessori, instilling at home, really, I would say, for me, would be respect of the child and freedom. Respect of the child is, we could talk about that for days, nonstop. And then freedom is, so respect of the child is more observing the child, what they need, what they're doing, and respecting them as if they were adult with their time and their activities, you know, as long as they're not injuring anybody. And it takes a while to get into tune with what little kids are trying to accomplish. And they themselves don't even know. It's so internal and they can't really express it. So it is our job as parents to observe them, figure out where they're at, and learn how to protect their focus and their time and their wishes, what they're trying to accomplish, because they are trying to build an entire man, you know, from the ground up, literally. They are so tiny when they're born and they get like 5 foot taller. unless they're me, then they only get like 4.5 foot taller. But those are the two things now that I would say are the most important. How do we accomplish that? Respect of the child is more the philosophy, and the freedom is more the implementing it into your home, making spaces for your children, making them simple, making them where they are in their development, putting stools up to sinks or lowering counters where you can, lowering things that they need to take care of themselves, lowering them down and making them simple enough where they can choose it, pick it out, and help themselves and like do it themselves. Coincidence, my daughter is also, our youngest child is also 2.5 right now. And for the first time this past week, she said, "Me do it." And that's a super tagline in Montessori, because they do want to do it themselves. They want to be independent. They want to build themselves. They want to have confidence. They want to take care of themselves. It is an inner desire, natural desire, good desire of the human person to do that. So I love that your daughter is 2.5. It makes this really easy. So first, there are a few things before I go into like the, you know, what you can actually do to help them be free in your home. Ideally, like generally, you want your home to be a very simple, quiet, and stable environment, especially since, you know, they're in daycare, they're not at home, so they're going to have not a whole lot of time, not as much time as they would at home to assimilate their environment and their surroundings. So I think it's very important that it's very simple and stable, doesn't change much, and serves them very well, because I think typical daycares are not like that, and they tend to be busy and noisy. So in order to have like that be, you know, you're going to need to serve their internal needs more at home, because they're not going to be getting that at daycare. I really think that would be important for them, you know, where they're at. And so that pretty much, I would think, translates to, you know, simple, beautiful spaces, no noisy toys, no push buttons. Like, you're going to be the one to develop their focus. I don't think daycares are very good at doing that. So the parent is going to need to be the one to develop their focus, you know, and protect that, and not interrupt them at home. Let them have that undisturbed time to assimilate their day and help them to develop focus, because it is a skill. It is a work to be able to build up to that. You know, no noisy toys, no busy toys, but, you know, board books, blocks, puzzles, quiet things that require focus and bring peace and calm would help, you know, decompress for the day and then help them to develop that focus and give them the things that they're not going to get at daycare. Another thing, like in the home, for Respect of the Child is to just parent Montessori. It's different. It's countercultural. You know, in Montessori, there is no, quote, sharing. Like, this child has 5 minutes and that child has 5 minutes. And Montessori, whenever she talks about this in one of her books, she really helps you as an adult say, how would you feel as an adult if, you know, something that you felt like was yours, some other adult came up to you that was bigger and stronger and said, hey, you're going to have to give that up in 5 minutes and give it that to somebody else for 5 minutes. And you have to keep switching back and forth. For one, that does not help focus. That helps break focus. That is the opposite of focus. And that's the opposite of respecting someone. It's like, okay, well, they chose this work and they had it first, so they need to have it as long as they're focused on it. Now, if they drop the toy and move on to something else, then you would bring them back to that and say, are you finished with this? And if they're not, then they'll keep playing with that. Fine. That's helping develop their focus to work with this thing for longer and longer. But if they are finished, then have them put it back on the shelf. And then the other child can have it whenever the first child is finished. That is respectful. That is fair. That is just in an adult world. And we should treat children the same. If they're people, they're humans. And just because they don't have a lot of couth about it doesn't mean they don't deserve the same respect. You know, sharing is different. Speak how you speak to them. You know, Montessori thinks that and says that, you know, they're building their internal self. That includes an internal compass, an internal judge, judging what is good and what isn't. And when we constantly pour in our judgments on them by saying, oh, good job, you know, good work, you're a great artist, then we even are putting on them like entire persons, like in personalities, but in careers by saying, oh, you know, you are an artist. Well, is that really true? Is that what they are going to do for the rest of their life? Like, why would, you know, so you just thinking about that and trying to work through that. And it's going to be a work in progress because for me, this is new to me. If it's new, it takes a while. Be gentle with yourself, but it's something to start working towards. So you want the child to have themselves this internal compass and judge what is good, because we all have this desire for good. And Montessori said that all children want to do good. They have this natural desire to do good. And we need to help foster that development in themselves and ask them what they think and allow. The more practice you give them to point out the virtue, or, you know, how well they did something or how well they didn't do something, then they are going to be able to do that themselves in life. And they're not going to be an adult and have another peer or another adult or a boss tell them, hey, you didn't do so hot, you need to work more on this. They're not going to have a breakdown because they're not going to have spent their whole lives trying to chase this external, well, if somebody else doesn't say it's good, then it's not good. They will know in themselves, like, is it good, is it not? And they'll at least know, like, I worked really hard on this. They're saying it's not that good. So maybe I need to figure it out, get some help, like, figure out what they want instead of just being so emotionally. That when we put judgments on kids, it's great to be positive. But when you're constantly praising them for their actions, that is like a dopamine hit for them, and they're going to start chasing that. It can become addictive. And like a lot of kids have grown up with this. I think all of my entire generation has grown up with this. And we feel like we're being good parents doing that, but we end up doing the opposite. And we want to respect the child and their internal desire for good. That's what this is all about. So, you know, things like sharing, things like how we speak to them, you know, helping them develop these inner desires, observing what they're doing, letting them finish a work, letting them do the best that we can to respect their time and what they're working on in the moment and not interrupt them for dinner. You know, can dinner wait 10 minutes, you know, so that they can finish what they're doing or have enough time to do it? You know, just little things like that. You know, not rushing out the door, not sweeping them up and putting their shoes on for them. Like, it takes planning, to let a child dress themselves and, you know, help themselves get ready. You have to start earlier. So it is does take intentionality. So just starting to be intentional in those things with what you know about Montessori and even starting to read more. I would suggest the book Montessori From the Start by Paula Polk Lillard. She walks you through how to Montessori your home. And there are other books like Spontaneous Activity of the Child by Maria Montessori and Absorbent Mind by Maria Montessori that help walk you through the philosophy of observing the child and what they're doing so that you don't take away that moment of them getting to be independent and doing something for themselves. It's so satisfying. It's so rewarding. You can also, like something very Montessori you can do with them at home is focus on self-care. And, you know, this is the freedom in the home, bringing everything down to their level, letting them know where things are at, making them accessible and safe, like getting dressed in the morning, being able to get up to the sink and brush their teeth, starting on, you know, pottying. That is a great Montessori thing to do at this age. This is usually when they're interested. My 2.5-year-old has been interested since before she was 2. We started just after, and we're still working on it. But she is way past where my boys were at this point. I just didn't do it. This whole thing has been quite a ride for me, and I learn more with every child I have. I feel like I become more in tune with their sensitive periods, where they're at in their development, and how to foster that. But freedom in the home, giving them accessibility to things like the getting dressed, brushing teeth, going to the bathroom, getting a drink of water if they need one, they're thirsty, getting a snack if it's appropriate, leaving that out somewhere where they can get to a snack if they're hungry and it's not an hour before, you know, that's not going to spoil their dinner. You know, that's a more personal preference, but that's something that, you know, you could implement if you do snacks in your home, giving them the tools to clean a mess up on their own. And in this, we need to be really have in mind that desire to do good. And I have a very controlling personality, and I want to say, oh, look, oh, yeah, now you need to clean up that mess. Giving a command, that's putting an adult's request on them. That's not developing that internal need and desire to do good and need for order that they have at this age. That, you know, those two needs make them want to clean it up themselves. And the most that they would need from an adult is, well, A, to show them how to clean it up to begin with, and then just noticing it with them or for them. Uh-oh, that's all I say a lot of times. And then they're looking around for a mess, and then they want to clean it up. That changes as they get older, but in this 2.5-year period, even 18 months, they're going to be going and getting a broom and trying to help. For a 2-year-old at this point would be working on, even with like the small things you have out on a shelf for them in their room, or you have any other spaces for them in your home, it's just having that sense of order. When you get something out, we put it away. And I used to get stressed out about this because I'm like, oh, this is not, why aren't they doing it how Montessori says they want to do it, and why aren't they doing it? It's they need it, but they're not perfect at it. And this is the whole point of letting them do things themselves, is they're not going to be efficient. They're not going to do it well, but they're starting to develop on it. I mean, how long does it take for them to learn a language or to fully be able to read and write from the first sound to writing out a complete story with paragraphs and sentences and quotations and all of that? It's many, many, many years. So this is the first step of a long work of order. They need it and desire it so much that it is really not that hard. It's not near as hard to get a 2-year-old to pick up as it is to get a teenager to pick up. So working on, if we get something out, then it gets put away. Or, oh, where does this belong? I say that a lot. Where does this go? Oh, who decided to play with this? Who's working with this? Where does that, you know, it's a lot of I just ask the question, where does it go so much? Or they aren't getting interested. Let's pick it up. We're just taking their hand and bringing them with me, and at the very least letting them watch me put it away. So they're seeing it put away, they're seeing how it's put away, and it's reinforcing when things get taken out, they get put away. Now, all of this orderliness stuff, if you're not already an adult that's on top of it and ordered, might open a can of worms. It's taken me a long time to develop this, and I still don't have it right. It's a lot better than it was. And going over to other people's houses where they look like they're, you know, show ready to sell tomorrow really helps me have that desire of like, oh my gosh, this feels so nice to relax in this ordered and clean home. And then I'm like, okay, it just gives me inspiration. But, and I hope that's what this does for you and doesn't say, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind and I already work full time and have kids and have to send them to daycare. Putting it on your calendar, planning out times has helped so much. I was feeling really overwhelmed with our homeschool room, and I kept explaining that to my husband, how overwhelmed I was, and I need to work on it, and I don't know how to get it all done. And he suggested, and I don't know why I didn't think of this before, like, okay, let's plan a Saturday morning where you have like 4 hours to just do this yourself, and like I'll take the kids somewhere and we'll go have fun, and you can have like 4 hours of undisturbed time to, you know, do whatever you need to do, research curriculum or order things or like organize their room and figure out how to assist them to keep it organized. So really just scheduling time and doing it bit by bit or room by room, or sometimes it's even shelf by shelf. I love the whole minimalistic movement. I think that's been so good for Americans in general, or even just adults who have had years to just pile stuff in. You kind of just put it in a closet, put it away. You might need it later, and it's been 10 years and you haven't used that one thing. And at least you could donate it and somebody else could have been using it that really needed it. So, having a garage sale, even if you plan it out and you only get half the time or a fourth of the time, it's better than nothing. So I hope that doesn't open a can of worms, but for me, it definitely did when I started all this Montessori stuff. I was an organized pile kind of person. My husband was not, and I wasn't going to take any advice from him. So starting all of this Montessori stuff that has made me think about order and how important it is, at least for my children, has really helped that, and it has also really helped my ability to be calm throughout the day when there's a lot of commotion, because we have a lot of young children and it can get overwhelming. But if the house is semi-organized or, you know, picked up, things are in its place, it's so much easier to handle the succession of requests and spills and things happening, and someone needs you to do this or schoolwork, or now the mailman's knocking at the door, and you know, just all the things that can happen at home. You know, one thing also that might help with the keeping things organized for this age, for these children, is not everything being in bins, because the more beautiful you can make it look when it's put away, then the more desire you create in them to put it away. Because when they put it away, it's not going in a messy pile. It's going to look pretty. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to fulfill their inner need for beauty and organization. I have realized that recently. We were recently sick. A neighbor gifted us some things for the kids to do, some puzzles for the older kids. And they got my daughter just a really simple, like, four-piece dollhouse. Like, it's like different rooms you can stack on top of each other. Perfect for her. She can put it together. At first, I was keeping it up in the living room, like, kind of on a wall. Like, it looked cute next to the bookshelf. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, oh, like, we should just put this in a bin and set it. It's still near that place, but then it was in, like, this crate, kind of all stacked in there. And she hasn't played with it since. So tonight I got it back out, stacked it up, and thought maybe I did a disservice to her and she's no longer interested. A, she can't even see it because it's covered up by the bin. It's covered up by a large bin that it's in. But before, it was already set up and could see, and it drew it. The beauty of this wooden dollhouse drew her to it. Things like that you could have in your home, and also, yeah, keep them pretty on the shelf. And they may not always get it back like that because they're kids and this is a work in order. But if you don't have too many toys, like don't have, this is a really good kind of rule of thumb for how much is too much, is if you go through your house in the evening, like after the kids are bed and you like picking up, if it's too much for you to pick up before you go to bed, then it's too much. And kids don't, they really don't need a lot. And if you're finding your house is messy, A, you could have not done a good job drawing their attention to put it back. You know, it could be many things. That's one thing. Or it could be that there's just too many things and we need to take them out of the space and just dial it back until you're noticing them being able to pick it up more. Or at least you can reset it yourself without feeling overwhelmed. If they're taking everything off and it's just a mess, they're not really working with anything and you're not developing that focus. So that's just something to think about. Don't get stressed. Don't get overwhelmed. Just think, how can I do this differently? What's going on? Step back and observe. Don't beat yourself up. Don't immediately just start throwing punches at yourself. This is a moment of observation then. What's going on? Why is this happening? And taking that, you know, why is that happening? Answering it and then figuring out how to serve the child better with a different setup or less toys, or maybe they're not ready for that. Maybe we need to put it away for a month and bring it back when they're more to that time in their development. So I hope that this has helped. Thank you for the questions, Sarah. If you have a question, you can email me, Danielle M. Reinert, R-E-I-N-E-R-T, at gmail.com. You can direct message me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Montessori Mom Podcast. Danielle Mitchell is my channel on YouTube. It could also be Montessori Mom. I thought it was. I'm going to have to check on that. But comment on something. I am so love doing this. I love sharing this with other parents. I think that it is such a beautiful way to raise our children and just a way to raise a beautiful adult that's going to be at peace with themselves and capable and loving. And Montessori is very much about assimilating the child into their culture. And so it's just such a beautiful way to go about parenting and life in general. And I get so excited about it. Thank you so much for your question, Sarah. And I love doing this, guys. So, you know, shoot me any questions. I'll do a whole podcast on it. So thank you so much for listening to Montessori Mom.